Tavshinayan Gimel Shovavim Shir number 1, going over Hilchos Tayrus Mishpacha in a very truncated, short way, but Mitzvah Hashem, there'll be a toelus in it for everybody, myself included. I didn't plan this out enough. I didn't plan out how I'm going to do this, so I just hope it works. And if it doesn't work, you let me know, and I'll make a better plan for next time we learn. Okay. The Isanida, a little Abdama. Isanida is interesting because it's Tuma. And the same thing that makes a tumah, she can't go into the Beis HaMikdash, she can't even touch him. She's an alpha tumah, mishkav moishav. And there's also issel abayla, which really, but it's mamash tumah, and it's like kosher ha baha, tali ha baha. And so that really reflects. It reflects that. That being together as ish v'ishto is really a dover kadosh, and like you can't do it when she's tamei, just like you can't go into the Beis HaMikdash when you're tamei, because you can't enter a makom kadosh when you're tamei. So conceptually, they can't be together when she's tamei. So that, you know, it's not just a tosser. Like you can't eat chazer, or you can't eat chalev, and you can't eat chametz on Pesach, and you can't have relations with your wife when she's a nida. The fact that it's another aspect of her being tamei, which is reflected in Dvarim Shebekedusha, so you see that being together is a davar kadosh, and it's inappropriate to be together. Just like it's inappropriate to go into the Beis HaMikdash when you're tamei, so it's inappropriate to be together when she's tamei, because it's a dahibin azach, you say in Yiddish. It's a davar kadosh. It's something special, and it's a shechinah's there, etc. And when she's tamei, you don't do it. Just like you don't go into the Beis HaMikdash when you're tamei. That's like as a hakdama. And another hakdama. Okay, that's enough. Now we'll go again. Oh boy, I didn't think people would come. I would have planned. I didn't plan it out. We'll see. Okay. Obviously, we can't go into things the way we should. So it isn't just really tachaser. So dam nida is from the uterus. Shilas could come up, because if you want to get scientific and medical, I mean, every dam nida is really a maka. I mean, the blood is not magic. It's not magical blood. It's the uterus, right? It sheds, and then it bleeds. So you could theoretically have a maka in the uterus, and sometimes a woman can't get tohor, and they actually are. These are very, very shvera shilas, whether you could ever be Matahir, a woman who's having dam from the uterus, but there's a maka there. It's not the usual shedding of the uterus that takes place every month if she didn't become a uberes. So these are shilas, but the derech klal, even if the doctor says it's not the regular dam, it's not menstrual blood, but it doesn't matter. If it's from the uterus, from the lining of the uterus, then she's tamei. And that's what we assume. Again, it's theoretically possible there's a makla there, but that's very rare, and it's very difficult to paskin on those shilas. What's a makla? Because as a uterus, it's always a makla. We know that it's chorus, and there's a lav. Any pleasurable contact with any woman who's an Ida, and you have to assume a woman's an Ida from the age of, you know, it's getting earlier and earlier nowadays. So any pleasurable contact is also with a lav, to listen to your Isa. Right, there's no such thing as Sharmanagia. It's also with your Isa. And you have to assume a woman's an Ida. She's an Ida even if the dam didn't come out of her body. This is one of the first things you learn when you learn Ida, the base of an Aleph, even if it's not Yoytze Me'aguf. As soon as it leaves the uterus into the vagina, into the right, it comes out, she's tummy. And that's why the bedika, right? She's tummy. You make a bedika, and then she sees this dam there. Now, midio raisa, this is like, what I call it, like, midio raisa, she's only tummy if there's a hargosha also. Now, why? Is there a why? And does it mean, because then you know for sure it's the dam coming out of the uterus, menstrual blood. But otherwise, there's always a tliya, which would mean that lu yitzuya, you know, because really, you know, it's quite obvious what it is, that you don't really need a hargosha. That's the stuff we're not going to go into. For all practical purposes, nowadays, the poskim go with the shita that if there's no hargosha, it's tak only midirabbanan. Even though you know what it is and you know where it's coming from, but without hargosha, it's not metame. Okay, so you need hargosha. Now, what's hargosha? Again, there's a big kula nowadays, which we'll see the limitations of the kula, but if the woman didn't. We just assumed there was no hargosha nowadays. That's why ksamim is almost always the rabbanon, because you just assumed there was no hargosha. The woman, the rav will sometimes ask the woman if she felt something. There's different types of hargoshas. There's, the achronim talk about different types of hargoshas. So sometimes the rav will question the woman if she had a hargosha and what she felt, and you can feel most of the time. I don't know, most of the time. Many times. She just feels wet. That's for sure not a hargosha. After it came out, she feels a dampness. Sometimes she feels it leaving her body, and that's also probably not a hargosha coming out of her body. The poskim that talk about the hargosha that makes her need the d'oraisa, so there's a three-way issue. The shaila of what's the hargosha, if she feels something moving within the body and she feels the dam like leaving the uterus, or psicha, she feels the uterus opening up. It's really, nobody's really, maybe others would argue with my next sentence, but nobody's really quite sure what it is, and the rav will question the woman, and usually it's not hargosha. And it makes a huge nafkamina, because the coolest that some have are all based on the fact that there was no hargosha. Right? The kulas of ksamim, that has to be a bris, many of the kulas of ksamim are based on the fact that there was no hargosha. So I say sometimes the rav will question the woman and it might turn out there was a hargosha. Now there's three cases where you say, what's really weird, and I have no good explanation for it, but I'll speak out that it's weird, is that, like, we sort of assume there was no hargosha, and women don't have hargosha, yet in three cases we're chayshish for hargosha, and therefore we're chayshish that it's the araisa, and that's when she makes a bedika. So we're chayshish that there was hargosha and she didn't feel it because of the hargosha. If she is going to the bathroom and she's urinating, so if she just urinated and then you see dam, so we're afraid there was a hargosha. And also, Royodam Machmas Tashmish, we're afraid. So in those cases, we treat it as a Chashash Dioraisa, because we say, well, maybe there was a Hargosha and she didn't feel it. What will happen, now what's very common is that this Dam, when she's urinating, after she's urinating, she wipes herself and there's Dam on the tissue, and a lot of achrayim are pretty makil that if it wasn't miyad mamish, this is really between the rav and your wife, really. But if it wasn't miyad mamish, then this aspect of being chayshish that there was a hargosha with the yitzias meiraglayim, and she didn't really feel it because of the yitzias meiraglayim, so you're dealing with maybe a diaraisa, so maybe you don't need a gris, maybe it doesn't matter if it's on color, then all the kulos of ksamim. But the rabbonim in general, I, the ones that taught me, a lot of Hilchos Nidah is like a Masora, like it depends who you learn by, but many Rabbanim will usually be Mekil, that if she wasn't especially in a rush, and in the normal way she urinates and then she wipes herself, that's already enough of a, if she wasn't especially in a rush, that's what Moshe says. Moshe says, if she wasn't especially in a rush, like the phone wasn't ringing, and she was rushing to answer the phone, if there's nothing special like that, so you assume that there was enough time, space, between the Yetzias Beiraglayim and the wiping, and then the wiping already has a din of a kesem again, and you don't have to worry that there's Hargosha, Bishas, Yetzias. So the real practical, on the ground, is the Bedika. That's why Bedika is even a little less. That, because the Bedika is not a kesem. And the reason a Bedika is not a kesem is because we say, well, maybe that's, there was a Hargosha. It's weird, there's no Hargosha, women don't feel Hargosha, there's no Hargosha. And Punk, when she makes a Bedika, you say, maybe there was a Hargosha. That's the way it's dealt with, and that's why even the tiniest dot on a Bedika cloth will make a tummy. Okay. Sometimes a woman will have what she calls, what she thinks might be a Hargosha, and then she has a, and then she, but she doesn't find anything. And even if she makes a Bedika, she doesn't find anything. Now, if, and again, the Rav has to talk to the woman in such a case. Because if it was a real Hargosha, then she's Tamei. She's actually Tamei. Unless, because we're afraid, we assume something came out, and now it's worse if she can't find it and she doesn't see it, so we assume it got lost, it got swallowed up, it got absorbed, and she's really Tamei. What I'll say, so either the Rav will determine it wasn't a real Hargosha, and it, you know, usually they don't even know, they felt, they didn't know, so the Rav tries, and this is an LP then, this is not, because the Rav's doesn't want to get fired, you know, trying to find favor. The Rabbanim would usually discount the possibility of Hargosha, usually, that's my experience. If there was a Hafrosha Tahora, then you don't have a problem, because then you say that's what came out. The real problem if there was a Hargosha is if she doesn't find anything, ironically, right? But if she finds something and it's tar, now if a woman many times, very often, has a Hafrosha Tahora, and that can create a Kula where she becomes Muchzekes. Okay, where am I starting from? A Hargosha alone is a problem. If it's a real Hargosha, you chayshish that there was dam. And if she doesn't see any dam anywhere, it means it got absorbed. And this, she's tummy. So the Rav will talk to her and either determine it wasn't a real Hargosha, or she'll make a Bedika and there will be a color that's okay. So that's also okay, because that's what came out of her body from the Hargosha. And it's okay, it's not a big color. And a woman could even become muchzekes to see hafroshos tahoros after hargoshos, and then even if she doesn't find anything, you could be mekil, because she's muchzek to have hafroshos tahoros, and that's what got absorbed, and that's what she can't find. Okay. Okay. Now, color is very important. Yeah, but that means that even, and sometimes the women are like, they can't believe that it's tar, you know. But it has nothing to do with, it could even be dam in a laboratory. A laboratory could see it as dam, and chemically speaking it could be dam, but the Gemara learns out from Sukkim that it has to be a certain color. And that for sure is different Masoros, different schools of thought. I happen to learn by Rabbi Yitzchak Berkowitz, who learned by Diane Fisher. It's very, very Mekil. There's jokes even made about the shade that's needed to be Tame. I just had a case today, Gradle, though. Please, have both sides. You gotta bring it to the Rav as soon as you can. I had a case today. No, yesterday. It was yesterday. Where I was shown a Kesem, and it was from Friday. And again, Baruch Hashem, I had a good Rebbe, and it was, now it was tar, you know, the way it looked now. But this is the type of color which you know fades with time. So I told him to go home and ask his wife if it was significantly different than the way it looks now, then I have to paskin its tummy. Because I know. Normally you go with what you see now, and you're not chayshish. But there are some colors that you know fade and get lighter. And that's why it's very important to give it to the Rav as soon as you can, because it just creates issues, because you can have this happen. And the Meister, she called me up, and she said, yeah, it was taka darker than it appears now. I said, you have to consider it tummy. It was no good. And you shouldn't wait. Okay. Now, sometimes they're shocked. You know, you say, what? I can't believe it. But they don't know what's brown and red and pink and, you know. Sometimes they don't realize that you say tummy, they're also shocked, because if you ever look at a bedikah cloth, the edges are always more red. It's mitztaber by the edges of the bedikah, and it's always more red at the edges than even the whole bedikah could be. Okay. What? I don't think there are halachos that say sort of an ein l'dayin alamash ein avroos type thing, but if you know, then I think it's absurd. It's not a okay.
At what point, how can a person judge colors?
They
can one learn from?
You can learn. You go to an expert. Rabbi Berkowitz has his Friday morning shiur, and I think you have to serve like 2 years. I mean, there was a tkuf in my life when I would walk around and I'd say, what's this? What's this? What would that be? And everywhere I looked, I saw red, and I, like, that's good, that's no good. And it takes a lot of nisayon, and it was very frustrating because I wasn't getting it. And I remember to this day, like one day, something clicked. It just all clicked together because it's almost instinctive. Now, many times a woman will say, you know, if it's always this color, do I have to show you? Do I have to keep showing you? You always say it's tar, it's always this color. Now, you know, so first of all, if it's a bedikah cloth, it's not just a question of color, but you could miss a dot. You could not realize that something's there. That's first of all. Second of all, you really have to be trained. I'm very hesitant. Sometimes I'm very, very hesitant to say, yeah, it's okay, because I don't trust. You don't trust. But if... Sometimes, yeah, you know, you have to play, the Rav has to play it by ear. And if the woman says, I have a good eye for color, and I, you know, and it's yellow or it's gold, if you look at the, like what painters have, you really see how yellow becomes gold and it becomes brown and it becomes red. It's really like, mamish, like darker and darker and darker. Like you see the connection between gold and yellow and red. It's almost like the same color, so to speak. I don't know what to call it. Okay. So if this is a hargosha, dam nidus matami the woman b'mashu. And the reason we talk about a gris, I guess I'll go back and go into more detail. This is more like, I guess, an overview session. The reason we talk about a gris is because there's no hargosha. We'll call it the definition of a kesem, is when she finds a stain and there was no hargosha. Right? So it's right away, the worst it's going to be is midrabanon. So therefore we have the kulas, which involve the size, and the size, and on a dubber hamakabel tuma, and what am I missing? I guess I didn't prepare well enough. The size dubber hamakabel tuma, and an uncolored is not matame. Please, I mean, sometimes women wear like light yellow or yellow or light pink. You know, if you're going to wear colored, because you want to wear colored, So then we're black. We're dark colors. You know, the lighter it is, the more, you know, it's not really colored. You know, and sometimes they wear white with pink in the middle. We're color. I think go get black underwear. Get, you know, have, now you're not fooling anyone. It's not. You're not avoiding a problem. You're not fooling Hashem. You're not fooling the Rav. You're not fooling anybody. This is. It's only the Rabbanon. And Rabbanon said on color. Now again, you have Rashi. You have different Rishonim that phrase it differently, because you can't really tell on color, and that's why they weren't Goyzer on color. But let's say you could tell. But Halacha L'maaseh on color, it's okay. And that's why when a woman's tahor, she should wear colored, so that she shouldn't have some issues. If there would be a hargosha, it doesn't help. If there's hargosha, then color doesn't help. Right?
Okay. The mitzvahs nowadays, women don't have hargosha.
We talked about that already. I don't know. I wouldn't say the mitzvahs is that they don't have. That's an incorrect statement, I'm afraid. I would say they don't feel the hargosha. So you can tie it, that's the same thing. If they don't feel it, then it's not a hargosha. Tree falls in the forest, it didn't make a noise. So if they don't feel the hargosha, there was no hargosha.
But lamaisa, a rope can't use a hargosha.
When it's most nogeya, I'll tell you, sometimes it's okay. I mean, you have to have conversations with women. Yeah, most women are okay. Like, sometimes they're embarrassed. You know, it's like a doctor, a rope's like a doctor. Tell your wives, don't cut up your underwear, it's faltashkos. No, there are certain women that cut up their underwear to show a kesser, because they're embarrassed that the rosh should see. And it's faltashkos. There's no reason to do it. I mean, the women that do it, but there's no reason to do it. Okay, Sichas HaKeber, not Masudra, I apologize for that. It's still important things, but I'll be more Masudra next time. I didn't think anybody would come. Sichas HaKeber, right? So if it opens up, if the uterus opens a certain amount, Chazal said you have to be Choshish, that Adam came out. And she's Tame. And nowadays, the instruments, when they make certain bedikas, so they go into the uterus, but most instruments are way, way smaller than the shear that Chazal gave for Psichas HaKever. Keber is the word for the womb. I'm not sure what I'm talking about. There's a certain type of, I think, birth control, something is like a T shape, but when it goes in, the T like collapses, and then after it's inside, it opens. When you look at it, you would think it's for sure a Psichas HaKever, but it's not true, because when it goes in, it folds. The two flaps fold and it goes in, and it's really almost all instruments nowadays are like. Don't create Psichas HaKever, but you have to ask a shayla. You have to ask a shayla with different procedures, and sometimes the Rav will have to talk to the doctor to, he'll ask him, yes, doctors, what's the circumference of the tool that you used, or how far did you go in, etc. Okay. Sometimes there was dam, right? If there was dam, then it doesn't matter, and you have to talk to the doctor, and again, sometimes a frum doctor is better, and sometimes it's worse. Of course, she's not an either rabbi, she's not an either, it's okay. And really, halachically, she is, so that's.
Can a rabbi rely on what a secular doctor tells him?
Yes. We're talking about technical stuff. Yeah. A major kula of kesem is, of course, the inyan of a tliya. That with a kesem you'll be toilet, so you're quicker to be toilet in a kesem, with a kesem. So even if it's of a size and a color that's no good, But if there's another explanation, like a maka or something of the sort, then it's much easier to make it clear. Okay. By the way, I should speak out. We'll be talking about Vestas. That's a subject in itself. But one of the Vestas is a Vest Haguf. And a Vest Haguf should not be confused with a Hargosha. Because Hargosha is a sensation a woman has when she is becoming an Ida, when she becomes an Ida. Different types of Hargosha, maybe they have Hargosha, maybe they don't. But a Vest Haguf could be taking place as any type of bodily sensation, and it could be a headache, it could be any bodily sensation, that there's a pattern when she becomes an Ida, and it's a question of being cautious, that she'll be an Ida, it's a Vest. That's what Vestas are. Vestas are situations in which you're cautious that she will become a Nida momentarily, or that day, or so women, for example, will have headaches sometimes, and they'll say, you know, Rabbi, I have this type of headache 2 days before I become a Nida. So what do I do if it's around that time of the month? It's after day number 26, and I get that type of headache. Like, is there a Vest? So again, we're very makel. The place of my makel, that because it has to be a well-defined pattern. And I tell them to take notes and keep a diary and see how many hours it is. You know, and I say you really need 3 times of a very specific pattern. And usually it's not. So even though they say, yeah, but... So I'm saying, you know, there's always the halacha and then there's the practicality. If a woman feels that, you know, on a practical level, she feels that she's going to have a period any hour now, or that night, or that day. So finally, on a practical level, she should refrain and she should take pain, but sometimes it's not possible. You get into issues of shalom bayis, and you get into issues. Sometimes I'll tell a woman, I'll pidin, you don't have to be choshesh, so don't be choshesh. It's not, you're not being fair, and you might even theoretically, you might even be over a lot of them. You know, you're not allowed to. If you make up a chashash, it's not fair to your husband, and you might be being mekapeach his schus, which you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to be mekapeach the husband's schus, just like he's not allowed to be mekapeach his schus because of the overly frum chashash. On the other hand, the Rav has to play it by ear. Sometimes it is a very practical, real chashash, and it's just halachically, it didn't work out that it's a Vest. So it's really a tightrope balance. On one hand, you gotta be practical. The one thing they can't understand is after the Vest passes, you don't have to be choshesh. You know, but it's coming any other rabba. Like every day that goes by, I wanna be more choshesh. Right? So I say, no, you don't have to be, it's not right to be choshesh. You don't have to be choshesh, and maybe you're not allowed to be choshesh. You can't make up your own chashashes. And usually, usually women feel when it's mamish coming. It's pretty rare. I mean, it happens. I don't think I've ever had a case where they knew that the person was nichshal. Sometimes she wakes up in the morning and then there's dam there. You say, okay, well, you don't have to be choshesh. But you do have to, this is a delicate idiom. And the Rav has to play it by ear and know who he's dealing with. I had tonight a case. I apologize. But I had tonight a case. This is not interesting. A woman called me up. It's not from the Kehila, and I don't know who it is. I mean, I know a name, which I'm obviously not going to tell you. But it meant nothing to me. It was just a name. And she's not in the shul. and she forgot to be baidik the seventh day, and she came back from the mikvah, and she remembered that she didn't make any bedikah day seven. So I said, "What are you calling me for? Call your rabbi." She's not a rabbi. So it's a tough shaila. It's a big shaila, and I said, "It's not fair. I tell you, it's not really fair of you to call me up and ask me." I said, "If it would be someone from my shul, so I have to pask him. I have to. It's in my contract. No, I don't have a contract, rather, but I'm a shubit to pask him. So if I have to go, what's the din? It's very, very delicate din. In normative halacha." And she had been by the mikveh already. She hadn't gone home yet. I think she was afraid. She was still afraid to tell her husband what happened. I think. So a normative halacha is that you can't. You have to wait. You go again day eight, and day eight becomes day seven. That's a normative halacha. There's makom to be mekel b'shas hadchak. So I said, "Well, I don't know what a shas hadchak is for you. Your husband will be like really mad at you. I don't know you. I don't know your husband. I don't know any dynamics here. I don't know who I'm talking to." So I said, "You're going to have to make the decision." So she went crazy. "I can't make the decision. I'm calling a rabbi." So she said, "You know, it's a very tough call. These are the tough ones. You know, you don't know what to say. What am I supposed to say? You know, you." Oileum Oimar, Oileum Loy Oimar. Or in English, it's damned if I do and damned if I don't. Like, what are you supposed to do? On one hand, really, this mom is such an apprius.
She didn't do any bedikah,
day seven. I don't know how you forget. She prepared for the mikvah. Like, she did everything you have to do. I asked her, but she didn't make a bedikah. Anyway, I asked a few questions, and then I said, "Tell your husband you made a mistake. And tell him you're sorry." And Adarava, you know, I went with the no. Go with normative halacha. And your husband will be mad at you. He'll be mad at you for. Is he going to hit you? Chas v'shalom. Is he from? I asked the question. He's going to be mad. You know, he'll be annoyed. He'll be mad. But you know, what can you do? So it'll be a good lesson. And I said, you know, you probably, it wasn't a nice thing to say, but like I said, she's not from the shul. So I said, you probably miss lich benching every week. Yeah. And I can't forget a very wise person. He's sitting here now. He just came. He just joined us. Very smart person. He said to me once, like, you know, with this membership, I can't forget, it was a very smart thing. It was like very, he said, well, there's membership, so there's always after you give days when you're supposed to come. And then there's always the people that didn't come yet. And they're always the people that need a break. Because they don't have jobs, or they don't have regular jobs. You. So the person was masbidding me, it's totally ha-baha. These are the people that can't hold down jobs. Because they can't come, when you say, come these days, they can't come these days. They're always coming afterwards. It's like, I forgot, I couldn't get it, I couldn't make it. So these are the people that don't have jobs. It's not a coincidence. It's totally ha-baha. Very important insight. And, okay. I went with no. Then I quickly called up Kornfeld. And I said, what would you have said? Yeah, he said the same thing. Why didn't I call him before? Hey, I got my pride. No, I knew the din. I knew the din. The din is a normative halacha. It's no good. And b'shas hadchak, there's makom to be mekel. There are shitas that you can be mekel. So, you know, those are the tough calls. He called me up. Sometimes a rabbi earns his keep. I don't think anything wrong with it. Michael's wife was very banged around, right? So she was in big tsar over Shabbos. And, you know, you have a bed. But you can't call a goyish a nurse. Like, literally every 5 minutes she had to change positions. She was in tremendous tsar. I said, hey, take a painkiller. So the question is to do malacha with a shinu. Can you do malacha with a shinu? Can a chola, like a real chola, just ain't both sakana, but like a really chola. Can you do malacha with a shinui? So again, you know, like I said, you know, the tough call. The tough call. There, Grada, there are many, there are Mekilim. That B'mokam Tzorech Godol, not Shasat Chak. Shasat Chak is a different concept. Tzorech Godol doesn't mean Shasat Chak. I can explain it. Shasat Chak means the husband will get married, he'll take a shalom by, Shasat Chak. Tzorech Godol means you're in tremendous pain. That's a Tzorech Godol. So I said, you can be Mekil even. From Zalman holds you can be Mekil in a mokum of a big Tzorech to do even a Mlacha Deraisa with a Shinu. And then I asked him, there were no lights. So if there's no lights, it's not so posh, it's a Mlacha Deraisa. I don't know if I should say that publicly. It's not so posh, it's a Mlacha Deraisa pushing a button and this. So it might have, and a Mlacha Derabana with a Shinu, everybody's Maida, a full fledged Chayla can do. A Mlacha Derabana. Amir Lakam is for sure Mutter. But that's a question. You can't call an Akam every 5 minutes, every 8 minutes. You can't call an Akam. So Mlacha Derabanan, you can certainly do with a Shinui. And so that is, I mean, these are the what? If what? Why? What do you mean? Oh, no. It would have made a difference if she at home. If she would have been with her husband already. And then called up, then you say, and then you make her, you don't make her go to the mikvah again after she was with her husband. I mean, sometimes you do, but not in this case, for sure not. Okay, any questions? I apologize, but I'm a little not masudr, or a lot not masudr. I didn't realize anybody would come. But we did learn some things tonight, so now I'll answer questions for 5 minutes. Anybody have a client? Can you take me to the bus so I don't have to run out like by the minute? Okay, thank you.
In the case where she thinks it's coming any minute, but
because of what I tell women is, you have to know your own body. You have to know. So when you say that, I would right away stop them, interrupt them, as I just interrupted you, and I would say, "What do you mean? Do you mean it's coming any minute? Because it hasn't come yet, so it's going to happen any minute? Or do you feel in your body that it's going to happen any minute?"
She gets a headache every 2 or 3 days later.
And there's, so the first thing I would ask is, so again, and assuming there's no established pattern that would make technically a vest haguf. Okay. So there's, yeah.
So, right, so we would say, okay, halakhically, she's going to her husband, but logically.
So it's a tough call. I would have to. It would, sometimes it depends. It depends who I'm talking to. I know the husband, I know her. Sometimes the poskim say she should not make a bedikah, but she should make a surface wipe before having relations. And that's enough.
So how far do we go? Do we say only kashas or even chibuk
v'nishuk? Chibuk v'nishuk, I wouldn't be machmir. I wouldn't be machmir. Because that's, she'll know when she becomes a nidah. With Bia Chasim Shalom, you're dealing with Chorus, and it, you have to know how to be Pirish if it happens. There's halachas of how to be Pirish, you have to be Pirish, babe and mace. So here, you know, you feel it coming, you just stop. There's no issue really. I wouldn't be, keep it finished, I wouldn't even be Machna. But four, she knows when it's coming. That you don't have to be Chayshish, she's a need and she doesn't know about it. That, for sure, you don't have to be Chayshish. Questions?
Give some outdoors in terms of a kesem that's found on their underwear during Shiva Nikiyim and a kesem that's found on the Vedika cloth during Shiva Nikiyim.
You should not use the term a kesem that's found on a Vedika cloth. Almost by definition, a Vedika cloth is not a kesem. A kesem by definition means there was no Vedika made. Dam that was found, again, the reason is because weirdly enough, when there's a bedika, we're, you know, just to tell you the idea, it's not magic. When there's a bedika, we're afraid that there was a hargosha. When there was a hargosha, we're afraid she's an ida d'oraisa. When she's an ida d'oraisa, all these rules are off. Colored, size, color, of course, is still kayam, doesn't have to be a bad color. But, so that's a contradiction in terms. No such thing as a kesem on a bedika cloth. I mean, it could be, but not if you made a bedika. If you made a bedika, it's not a kesem. A kesem, by definition, is So sometimes, again, the Rav asked just to make sure there was no Hargosha. Usually I don't ask. In a normal Kesem, I don't ask if was there a Hargosha. Sometimes a woman will volunteer information that she was feeling funny, and then she thought it was nothing, and then she looked, and then she saw there was something there. So then the Rav will have to probe to see if there was a true Hargosha. Sometimes. Usually not. It really is rare. It felt something flowing. It's like they don't even know themselves.
So then you're saying that so then the issue of the size on a particular cloth isn't an issue, and even if it's
size is not a,
even if it's a kosher, in terms of color, is there a difference?
No, not in the practice. No. By the way, black is a bad color also.
I guess.
Black. Morris is black, but there's different shades of black. Usually a jet black. Black is red. That's the Morris look. So if you see a black dot, even if you're passing your own Morris, or in case you are many times, so realize that black is a bad color. And you have to show black, because there's different shades of black also.
Yeah.
Well, again, the problem with toilet paper is that you have to be fleshish, because really, by Meraglayim or Gedolim, technically there's a chashash hargosha. The achronim are makel, as I explained, because she usually wipes afterwards and it's not simultaneous, so we assume that. Again, that you're back in safe territory where she would have felt the Hargosha. The Hargosha was not covered up by the urination. The Rav will sometimes ask her, like, were you in it? Rav Moshe is really a very big kula, and I use Rav Moshe's kula. If you weren't in any special rush, like, again, the phone wasn't ringing, and the doorbell wasn't ringing, and the baby wasn't crying, etc. If you weren't in any special rush, then I'm making. And I consider it a kesem, which brings us back to color and size. And some say toilet paper. I'm not making by toilet paper for the fact that it's not makabel tum. Because you know it's coming from the body.